Good afternoon, everyone. And a happy World Toilet Day to all of you. For those of you sitting back there, if you would like to come down and fill some of the empty seats, you're very welcome to. Although if the representative from that particular country comes down, you may have to vacate the seat, but please come down if you'd like to. Well, Ambassador Noel Sinclair, the representative of the President of the General Assembly, permanent representatives, distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen, a very warm welcome to all of you to this seminar to commemorate the 19th of November as World Toilet Day. This event is a little bit unusual because very rarely do you see a toilet walking down the steps of the ECOSOC chamber. If you turn around, you'll see someone, a mobile toilet, I guess, who's trying to take a seat. Well, anyway, I hope today's event will help to draw attention as well as come up with ideas to address the pressing challenges of sanitation for all. Now, at the outset, just let me give you a quick overview of this afternoon's seminar, which will last till 6 o'clock. It will have three main components. First, opening statements, as well as several video messages commemorating today's World Toilet Day. This will be followed by a special segment on the challenge of sanitation, voices from the field, and finally a panel discussion on sanitation in the post-2015 development agenda. In the first segment, we will hear the PGA statement by his Deputy Chef de Cabinet, Ambassador Sinclair, followed by a video message by UN Deputy Secretary General Jan Eliasson, and videos by His Royal Highness Prince Al-Hassan bin Talal of Jordan, who's the chair of the Secretary General's Advisory Board on Water and Sanitation. Another video by Unilever entitled, "We Can't Wait." And one more video from Singapore's Ministry of Environment and Water Resources and the World Toilet Organization. And to round off this first session, I will add my voice to these opening remarks. So without further ado, and to kick off the proceedings, I'd like now to invite Ambassador Sinclair to deliver the PGA statement. Ambassador, you have the floor.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Companions at the high table, excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, distinguished guests, General Assembly Resolution 67/291 has designated, as you know, November 19th as a day for promoting international attention and action toward ensuring that every person on this planet has access to basic sanitation services, symbolized by the toilet. At the heart of this symbolic day is Millennium Development Goal number 7, which affirms the commitment of our heads of state to halve the proportion of the population that does not have access to basic sanitation by 2015. When our heads met in New York on September 23rd to review the status of implementation of the MDGs, their judgment with regard to basic sanitation was sobering. At the current rate of progress, they found that the world will fall short of the sanitation target by 2015. The good news is that in general, the basic sanitation situation in the developing world has improved. However, in some areas, it has not. While 48% of the overall population in developing regions was without access to basic sanitation in 2008, in sub-Saharan Africa and Southern Asia, the numbers rose to 69% and 64% respectively. Furthermore, the sanitation practice that posed the greatest threat to human health was open defecation. In other words, the lack of toilet facilities. The grim situation of a lack in sanitation services does not have the raw, naked force of an earthquake or a hurricane or a typhoon or a forest fire, yet its effects are no less deadly. In this regard, President Ash, who is away on official duty and on whose behalf I speak, recalls the appeal made by our Deputy Secretary General for the international community to combine efforts to end open defecation by 2025. As a practical measure, we consider that UN funds, programs, and operations such as UNICEF, WHO, and PAHO could play a useful advocacy role. In the absence of proper sanitation, open defecation pollutes the air, the land, wells, and waterways. The net result is that the most vulnerable, our young children, fall victim to a raft of preventable intestinal and other diseases. It would be sad enough if this were only a public health phenomenon, but the impacts are much greater, resulting in significant loss of productivity in the economies of the countries concerned. The costs of inadequate sanitation often account for several percentage points of GDP loss. Lack of sanitation also adversely affects women, who must give birth to children without the benefit of clean running water, walk for miles each day to collect, at best, barely potable water for their family's use, who expose themselves to sexual abuse as they do so, who must keep watch at the bedside of their children suffering the ravages of diarrhea or some other preventable waterborne disease, who must watch them suffer, willing them, often in vain, to draw just one more breath, then another, then another. Indeed, the lack of basic sanitation is one of the most dramatic manifestations of our world's gross inequities, which absolutely needs to be addressed in the post-2015 development agenda. Against such a background, promoting access to sanitation, in keeping with the adoption of Resolution 67/291, is of the most critical importance, and the mission of Singapore deserves credit for arranging today's event. As you all know well, the PGA has proclaimed his theme for this 68th session to be the post-2015 development agenda, setting the stage. For him, the term development is not to be understood in the limited third world sense of emerging out of underdevelopment. In his mind, development is to be conceived as relating to all countries, all peoples, whatever their standard of living. Seen in this light, the fundamental concerns of development must of necessity include the enjoyment, especially by the poor of our world, of their human rights, including their right to sustainable living in the form of health, clean air, clean water, and access to sanitation, in a single word, toilets. This inaugural commemoration of World Toilet Day and the kinds of follow-up activities it will spawn coincide well with the President's proposed thematic debate on water, sanitation, and sustainable energy in the post-2015 development agenda. President Ash is particularly pleased that this inaugural commemoration includes exchanging ideas about how to bring about the change we all wish to see regarding enjoyment of the human right to basic sanitation. He is hopeful that today's seminar will lead to useful, workable ideas on a number of specific topics which can provide greater substance and clarity to next year's thematic debate. This seminar can also, inter alia, help to underscore the essential links between the social, economic, and environmental dimensions of development. It can identify ways to heighten global sensitivity to the plight of those living without basic sanitation, not simply as a public health issue, but more fundamentally as a development concern. It can help to strengthen the sense of a planetary community, which is the bedrock of the post-2015 development agenda, and as a result, it can exert pressure for the forging of a strong political will, particularly on the part of the developed countries, to make the necessary resources available for bringing about desired improvements in water and sanitation for the regions most in need. It can examine what resources might be released by households and affected communities for achieving the above objectives. It can stimulate discussions on establishing a partnership arrangement involving governments, civil society organizations, WHO, UNICEF, PAHO, and other relevant stakeholders, which would elaborate a practical, action-oriented program of action for bringing about meaningful change in the area of water and sanitation. Ladies and gentlemen, for those of us in this room, the toilet is most likely something we take for granted each and every day. For many others, access to quality sanitation remains out of reach with dire consequences. Today, let us commit to finding innovative ideas on how to redress this imbalance so that all people may have the same rights to good health, dignity, and decency. On behalf of President Ash, I wish you great success in your discussions. Thank you.
Thank you, Ambassador Ash. We'll start with the videos now.
Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, dear friends. Sanitation has been at the top of my agenda for many years. It is a cruel irony, isn't it, that in today's world, it can be easier for people to get access to a mobile phone than to a safe, decent toilet. While you listen to this video, 5 children will die from diarrhea, most likely caused by inadequate sanitation and open defecation. Many others will fall seriously ill, threatening their long-term health and development. That is why the government of Singapore sponsored a United Nations Sanitation for All resolution that declared the 19th of November as the World Toilet Day. We need to break the taboo around this life and death subject. We must make sanitation for all a global development priority. First, we must work harder to achieve the Millennium Development Goal, the sanitation target, by 2015. It is, after all, the most lagging of the goals. Then by 2025, we must end open defecation once and for all. This is a message of the call to action on sanitation that I'm leading on behalf of the Secretary General. The time has come to overcome prudishness and squeamishness on this essential topic. Let us break the silence by using the latest communication tools to send the message. Let us invest, innovate, and forge partnerships to provide effective solutions. Everyone has a role to play. Nobody can do everything, but everybody can do something. Governments, development partners, the UN system, the private sector, the knowledge community, civil society, you and me. Sanitation for all is central to sustainable development and a life of dignity for all. The benefits are clear: healthier children, more girls in school, greater economic productivity, and a cleaner environment. It is time to talk. It is time to act. It is time for sanitation for all. Thank you very much, and all the best in your important work.
Water is one of our most precious resources and vital for everyday life. Access to clean water and sanitation is one of our basic human rights. Yet 2.5 billion people, almost two-fifths of the world's population, don't have access to adequate sanitation. The lack of safe, private and clean toilet facilities can cause widespread disease, pollution and loss of dignity. Rural communities are particularly affected by the absence of hygienic indoor sanitation, and the most vulnerable are women, children, the old, the disabled and the very poorest. His Royal Highness Prince Al Hassan bin Talal of Jordan is working tirelessly to improve the standards of sanitation, which will transform lives globally. Your Royal Highness, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us about the work you're doing to improve access to water and sanitation around the world. I know that you are now chairing the UN Secretary General's Advisory Board on Water and Sanitation, but this is an issue you've been very passionate about for many, many years. Just explain to us why it's something that you've really taken to your heart.
Because of the human face of it, because children all over the world are not going to realize their potential, boys and girls, unless they have the chance of making it beyond the age of five. Millions of children are dying as a result of cholera, typhoid, all sorts of diseases directly linked to unclean water.
How is this still the situation in 2013?
The correlation is always between building shopping malls, making money on new investments, hosting the next Olympic Games or whatever it may be. But nobody's focusing on the human face of misery. Today, water is one of those challenges. Food security, of course, is another challenge. But everything is interrelated. Humans have simply not taken home the context of the physical environment being also the human environment. So everyone's talking about the GDP deficit, but what about the human dignity deficit? So I think that the time has come to recognize that we simply have to manage our destiny. And in particular, in terms of future generation, this is not about me. I'm not important. It's about the kids and their kids.
So tell us about the ways in which a lack of access to water and sanitation can impact on young girls' lives, for example.
If a young girl is living in a dark alleyway in a slum, the idea of not being able to get to a water point or a latrine, not being able to go, not being able to wash, fearful of because of the absence of electricity, of being raped. This young girl is living in perpetual terror. How can a child have any hope of a future if her first experiences with hygiene and growing up at puberty are so horrid that they cannot even be mentioned? World Water Day, or World Toilet Day, or World Hand Washing Day is really all about their involvement.
But in terms of access to clean water and sanitation, what will be the measurement that you know that you've succeeded in what you've set out to do?
I think that we will know that there is progress when the WHO says $530 billion by 2015 or over the next decade for water and sanitation, as compared with trillions spent on the military-industrial complex. Success would be to address in human terms the reality that no water table is going to be unpolluted by 2030. If by 2015 we have at least taken a grip on a human knowledge base, an economic knowledge base, and a physical knowledge base of where exactly these people are, what they need to be enabled, and how much money is required, then maybe we can feel that we have arrived at a template of success.
Your Royal Highness, thank you very much.
Thank you very much indeed.
Well, one of the big reasons I chose water and sanitation was one was the enormity of the problem, but the other was the availability of solutions.
We can't wait for sanitation because of people like Lakshmi, who is 18. She lives in a slum in Bangalore with her family in one room. And when she goes to the toilet, she has to leave her house, whether it's night or day, cross a busy road into what is basically a series of hills made of rubble, where she goes to the toilet.
We can't wait for sanitation because it's good for people and it's good for business. We can't wait, and we must not wait. We have the legitimacy to take sanitation out of the taboo. Sanitation is no more unspeakable. We should mobilize countries' government, regional governments, global level, as well as mobilize local levels, including village chiefs, local celebrities, NGOs, philanthropists, tech pioneers, and move everybody together to design solutions that turn sanitation into a vibrant and efficient marketplace.
We can't wait for sanitation because sanitation in our homes and in our schools is a measure of the respect with which we hold our children.
We can't wait for sanitation because there are far too many millions of people around the world who don't have proper access to a nice, clean toilet, which is safe and secure and gives women in particular, but everybody, a measure of dignity. That's why we can't wait for sanitation.
We can't wait because we believe everyone everywhere can have access to safe water and sanitation by 2030.
We can't wait for sanitation because poor sanitation is costing the world at least $260 billion per year.
We can't wait for sanitation because the toilet is the single invention that has saved more lives in the world than any other invention, and there's still billions of people without one.
I can't wait for sanitation because too many kids are falling into inadequate loos all over the world.
I cannot wait for sanitation because I think everybody deserves a bit of dignity and privacy in one of your most intimate moments during the day.
We can't wait because toilets spell success. We know that something as simple as a toilet can help girls go to school and stay in school.
We can't wait for sanitation, or rather, we can't wait for market-based solutions to sanitations because these solutions do exist and need to be scaled up rapidly.
I can't wait for sanitation because women are being attacked every day on the way to public toilets or back from them or the way to public defecation areas. They need security.
We can't wait for sanitation because it is the most important medical milestone since 1840, and sanitation is critical for all children.
We can't wait for sanitation because it's essential to improve the lives of billions of people who currently don't have access to sanitation. And for Kimberly-Clark, it's essential for us in terms of global business growth.
We can't wait for sanitation because every day around the world, it robs people of health and dignity.
We can't wait for sanitation because it's the 21st century. We know how to go to the moon. We know how to use high-speed trains. We know how to use fancy cameras and mobile phones. But yet we can't get sanitation to 40% of the world that needs it. Come on, guys. It's time.
Well, I hope you enjoyed those videos, and we'll revert to more statements now. And I'd like to just add my voice to the opening remarks. Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, I thank you for being here today at the seminar to celebrate World Toilet Day. It is the first time the United Nations is officially observing World Toilet Day since the General Assembly passed the Sanitation for All resolution almost 4 months ago. I am glad that representatives from governments, the United Nations system, international organizations, civil society, and the private sector have joined us for this event. Your presence underscores the importance the international community attaches to providing access to improve sanitation across the globe. It also reflects our shared interests in tangible and comprehensive efforts to tackle this pressing challenge. Sobering statistics highlight the severity of the problem. 1/3 of the world's population does not have access to improved sanitation. Of this 2.5 billion people, many come from poor and rural areas. Furthermore, as many as 1 billion people still defecate in the open, leading to unsanitary conditions that give rise to health problems and disease. For instance, inadequate sanitation is a major contributor to diarrheal disease that causes 760,000 preventable child deaths each year. It results in increased health care costs. Work and school productivity also suffer. Many of us have heard of the distressing experience of girls who do not go to school because of the lack of safe and proper sanitation. This is quite clearly no laughing matter. Unfortunately, increasing access to improved sanitation is still a work in progress. The WHO and UNICEF have warned that the Millennium Development Goal target of providing basic sanitation is lagging behind other MDGs and is unlikely to be achieved before 2015. In other words, some 500 million people will be left out if the target of 75% global sanitation by 2015 is not met. It is therefore timely that we are gathered here at the UN to discuss and identify ways to ensure that the global agenda on sanitation stays on track. We cannot realistically expect to come up with all the answers in one afternoon, but we can give the issue the attention it deserves at the international, national, and local levels. The United Nations Secretary General's call to action on sanitation this year is a step in the same direction, and I echo his message that sanitation is essential for sustainable development, dignity, and opportunity. Colleagues and friends, some of you may wonder why a small country such as Singapore chose to initiate and sponsor the Sanitation for All resolution. For a start, sanitation is something that countries, both big and small, need to deal with. Singapore's land area is about 700 square kilometres, just slightly bigger than Manhattan. Nevertheless, extending sanitation services to Singaporeans took years of planning and commitment. As the last video captured, when Singapore became independent in 1965, only 45% of the population had access to proper sanitation. It was only some 3 decades later that all Singaporeans had access to proper sanitation. This required the Singapore government to clean up rivers, relocate businesses and industries, resettle squatters, and create new infrastructure. This did not come naturally to a fledgling nation. Discipline, creativity, and investment in infrastructure were crucial parts of the overall jigsaw. Singapore today continues to take steps to overcome natural constraints. About 40% of our water needs are served by importing water. To ensure an adequate supply of water, we rely on an integrated network of reservoirs, water desalination, and water reclamation. Incidentally, you would have noticed the bottles of new water on the table in front of you. New water, yeah. These are produced by advanced membrane technology that Singapore has used to purify used water to drinking standards. I am pleased to report that when UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon visited Singapore last year, he drank new water and called it the elixir of life. So I invite you to drink this elixir too. Our development experience, including with sanitation, is something that Singapore is happy to share with others. That is why we established the Singapore Cooperation Program in 1992. Under this program, some 80,000 officials from over 170 countries have received training in areas such as water management, sanitation, and human resource development. To get a sense of what Singapore is doing in conjunction with World Toilet Day, I invite you to visit the displays that we have specially set up at the curved wall space on the first floor of the UN Conference Building. The exhibits by the Singapore Ministry of Environment and Water Resources and UNICEF show the Singapore sanitation story, as well as the continuing global challenge of sanitation. I hope you will enjoy the exhibits and find them informative. Colleagues and friends, all stakeholders need to work together to ensure the MDG sanitation target is met. While governments have a primary role, international organizations, the private sector, and civil society groups also have roles to play. In this regard, I am glad that Mr. Jack Sim, the founder of the World Toilet Organization, is here with us today. Welcome, Jack. The World Toilet Organization has been instrumental in building an international network of toilet associations and organizations involved in sanitation. Over many years, Jack has done much to raise awareness of this issue and is one of the main advocates of World Toilet Day. I'm also pleased that Mr. Sim and representatives from BRAC, IDE, Cambodia, the Water Supply and Sanitation Collaboration Council, and WaterAid have agreed to share their experiences in the field with us. Their work with local communities is helping to change taboos around toilets and support the global sanitation agenda. As some of you may know, this is not the first time that World Toilet Day is being commemorated. Many countries and civil society groups have done so of their own accord. However, this is the first time the UN is officially commemorating World Toilet Day. This and your presence today in such large numbers reflects the international community's recognition of the importance of improved sanitation for all. It is a call for all countries to approach sanitation in a broader context, including hygiene promotion, provision of sanitation services, sewerage and wastewater management, and reuse of water and integrated water management. It signals the resolve of all stakeholders to accelerate efforts to achieve the MDG target of sanitation. As we work towards the Sustainable Development Goals and the post-2015 development agenda, let us not forget that many who can lead better lives if only they had access to toilets and improved sanitation. I thank you. Okay, well, that ends the first segment of this afternoon's program, and I'd like now to move to the special segment, which talks about the challenges of sanitation, the voices from the field. So as I mentioned in my speech, I'm particularly glad to welcome a group of passionate practitioners to share their experience and views. We look forward to hearing their contributions to this discourse on sanitation. So let me introduce the speakers for this special segment, and they will be introduced in speaking order. I have Mr. Jack Sim, the founder of the World Toilet Organization, also known as Mr. Toilet. So we welcome Jack. Next, we have Ms. Tanziba Abiran-Huk, who is the advisor for water and sanitation and hygiene of BRAC. Mr. Klan Marb, coordinator, national sales manager, WASH programs, international development enterprise, Cambodia. And Ms. Tanya Khan, coordinator for Pakistan, water supply and sanitation collaboration council. And finally, Alex, who is from WaterAid. So thank you all for joining us, and maybe I'll ask Jack to start off.
Okay. Today, I feel like a father at a wedding. The bride name is called Sanitation. I watched her grow up as World Toilet Day in the last 13 years, and she looks so pretty today. So how it got started, 13 years ago, when we started the World Toilet Organization on the 19th of November, 2001, we declared that day World Toilet Day. And it spread very well because there is a need that is not fulfilled. People were not talking about toilets and sanitation because they see it as a taboo subject. To make everybody participate, we add humor, and with a unique mix of humor and serious facts, it became an icebreaker. And once they start talking about toilet, they could not stop. So in the last 13 years, more and more people participated and became more comfortable talking about toilet and sanitation. Last year, our outreach was 3.3 billion viewers. And this was done with a budget of 0 cents because the media were very participative and so are the population of the world. When you think about toilet as a taboo, sometimes you don't think how serious it is. Just imagine that there is a very big typhoon recently in Philippines called Typhoon Haiyan. It killed 5,000 people. It's a very sad disaster, and donation pours into this disaster. People were very, very upset. However, if you calculate the number of children that die of diarrhea every year due to the lack of proper sanitation, the number is 800,000 people. That is equivalent to 160 typhoon a year. It means that almost every 2 days there is one typhoon killing 5,000 children, but there was no alarm. How are we so numb to the fact that these children are precious life lost? That is why it is so urgent to talk about the subject, because when you don't talk about something, you cannot improve. And the extent that we don't talk about it is the real reason that 2.5 billion people still do not have access to toilet and proper sanitation and hygiene. When I begin working on World Toilet Organization, I realized that water and sanitation were bundled together. And because water is glamorous, easy to understand, and easy to use, it overshadows sanitation. So in order to solve the sanitation problem, we have to give sanitation its own stage. So over the last 13 years, we lobbied very hard, together with big NGOs like WaterAid, UNICEF, WSSCC, companies like Unilever, and a lot of other NGOs start to join in. The media was one of the biggest supporters. And as this message starts to seep down to everybody, the subject became legitimate. And this legitimacy brought forward politicians who now feel comfortable to take their photograph next to a toilet and to speak about it, and then to allocate budget and implement programs on the ground. Last year, we started working with the Ministry of Foreign Affairs of Singapore, and through the hard work lobbying 193 countries of the UN General Assembly, on the 24th of July this year, the United Nations General Assembly adopted 19 November World Toilet Day as UN World Toilet Day. So what do we do with this new legitimacy? It's going to give us a lot of strength. It's going to give us a lot of power to start to engage not just at international level, but at national, provincial, and local level, right up to the village level, because that is where it matters most. When we don't use this legitimacy, it will also go away. So I urge everybody to talk about toilets, to highlight the fact that this is actually a very solvable problem. It's only not solved because we didn't talk about it. But once we know that the technologies are available, the prices are actually quite affordable for the existing ones, and there are more new ones that are innovating and coming up. We need to turn this whole thing into a marketplace so that it is sustainably distributed and there is profit, there is jobs creation, there are entrepreneurs running it, and it can be growing by itself because there is not enough donation to give everybody a toilet. And even if you give people toilet, they may not maintain and clean it, and it may fall into disuse. So beyond sanitation, we have to engage across sector. Sanitation will extend into education, low-cost housing, health, transportation, and all the other sectors. So if we want to solve this sustainably, we have to turn poop culture into pop culture. We have to engage local celebrity, politicians, street operas. We have to put the subject of toilets into love songs for Valentine's Day. We have to take every opportunity we can to make this into a normal conversation. Just like a lot of taboo that has been broken in the past, before the taboo is broken, it looks impossible. Some of them include HIV, woman liberation, sex, leprosy. A lot of this taboo, after it's broken, just seems very normal and rational to talk about. In fact, you can hear people singing about making love in love songs very comfortably, where before it's actually a taboo. I hope the toilets also enter into love song very soon. I grew up when Singapore was a very poor country. I have the privilege to understand the whole metamorphosis, and that is why I know that solving the sanitation problem is completely doable. When I grew up as a child, I have the British bucket system. We have to go to the hut outside our house and look down at all the different colors of shade of other people with worms, maggots, big green flies, sanitary napkin, and newspaper, which act as toilet paper. These are very traumatic experiences that I have as a child, and I don't think children in the world should be subject to this, because it is completely solvable. In a short time, when we have public housing, when we have our first flush toilet, I felt like a miracle has happened. I felt like I have now moved into the upper class of society. I felt like the British colonizer who were ruling our country. So sanitation do a lot to bring up the status of people. You see everybody buying cell phone in the base of the pyramid. They buy it because the cell phone gives them status. If they don't, it looks out of place. We should do the same with toilets, make toilets sexy, make toilets beautiful, and have an attitude that the toilet is something that reflects the status and the social standing of that family. When we are able to do that, we will be able to make everybody want to have toilet, drive demand, and when there is demand, there will be supply. I hope we all work together so that everybody, anywhere, can have access to a clean, safe, environmentally friendly toilet anytime they need it. Happy World Toilet Day.
Thank you, Jack. Now I would like to invite Ms. Hart from BRAC to say a few words. Can I just remind, 5 minutes, okay? Yeah, thank you.
I'll start with the presentation, but I would like to say that I'm privileged to present our experiences and bring the voice from the field. BRAC is the biggest NGO in our country. We work not only in Bangladesh, also we work in other countries in the world. So, next please. Basically, our vision is to have a world free from all exploitation and discrimination, and with aligning with the mission, we generally design the interventions in a way that we can have a holistic approach with everything like health, education, and water sanitation. In our WASH program, which is water sanitation and hygiene, basically is to have integrated approaches and sustainable ways to the underserved population and hard-to-reach areas. The beauty of the program is that we have definitely a mechanism of sustainability inbuilt in the program. We encourage and enhance the capacity of the people through different training models. And we always encourage the innovations so that we can redesign the program initiatives and have a better, better leeway to contribute to the sector. Next, please. The main strategy is based on the human psychology with the four blocks, creating a demand, strengthening the enabling environment, ensuring the supply, or promoting the aspect, and also appropriate financial arrangements. We are working in 250 sub-districts with the special initiatives in terms of the individual household sanitation, water and sanitation and hygiene facilities in schools, improved water supply, and improved hygiene behavior. Next, please. BRAC-WASH aims to enhance the access to 35 million people in terms of sanitation services, 65 million people for hygiene education, and safe water services to 2.5 million people. Till now, we are in the second phase of WASH program. Till now, we have covered about 150 puzzlers, and from that, basically, initially, we had a door-to-door survey where the baseline survey sanitation coverage was about 31%. And after a rigorous work and initiatives and interventions, we achieved 84% sanitation coverage in 150 upazilas. Now we have taken another 98 upazilas so that we can reach more people. Next, please. To ensure the sustainability, basically we engage the bottom-up participation. We do a social mapping and engage women and men, especially to raise their, as Jackson mentioned, that it's also a question of dignity and, of course, a privilege for the women. So they have to speak up their needs, their better ways of using the latrine and the situations. We orient the village WASH committee so that after phasing out the program, they can lead the thing to the next future. We train them, we give the leadership training, and we link them with the local government institutions. Next, please. Next. These are the pictures where you can see that there are with the PRA method, they're having the social mapping to understand their status, and they're having the formation of the group members, village WASH committee members, and after that, we train them on these aspects. Next, please. We advocate different issues, like as I mentioned, hygiene is also essential to ensure this proper sanitation thing. And so we have the hand washing activities in the group members, in the women groups and other groups, and also in the schools. Next, please. For enabling environment, we have to have a special centers where you can produce these things, the rural sanitation centers. So we give the interest-free seed money to encourage them to develop the thing. We train them, and that would be essential to have that thing within the area so that people can buy it in a minimum cost. Next, please. These are some of the options for safe water. That's also essential here. Next, please. One of the major component in WASH is school sanitation, because as you know that, you know, for the girls are dropping out from the school, especially after the puberty when they are menstruating, because there is no facility for them to have a separate latrines or their dumping facilities. So we construct separate latrines for girls in the schools with the dumping facilities. We developed different behavioral change, communication, IC materials for the students. We train the teachers by giving the TOT. We engage these students. We train the student brigades and link them with the issue that they have to ensure these things within the school, and then they can take it back to their home. Next, please. As I mentioned, that we always encourage the innovations. With this sludge in the latrines, we also are exploring the idea of biogas, and it's in a. We already finished the pre-feasibility study, and then probably with that we will transfer to CNG, which can use for the transports. You can see the elevated latrines here with the help of WTO. We are privileged to explore the issue that we can have an elevated latrine, because if it's been after a disaster or if there is a water logging in the area, people go to the embankment or in the high area. But when they come back, they generally re-renovate or reconstruct their houses rather than doing the latrine things. So if the latrine is elevated, if it's not been destroyed after a flood or after been waterlogging situation, then they can use it properly. So we always try to see the innovations. We do some action research, especially in the low-cost water sanitation technology and in hard-to-reach areas. And we also established a qualitative information system to understand the status of the latrine, status of the situation of the latrine, whether they're using it or not, what is the situation of the water source, whether they're using it for only drinking or it's also drinking and sanitation purposes. Next, please. There are ways of communication to bring the change, because it's not easy to bring a change. So as I mentioned, we developed the IEC materials. We target with all the groups in the village in a special meetings, like cluster meetings for men. Different audiences should have different aspects, and different audiences should be approaching differently, like for men group, women group, children, adults and girls and boys. We demonstrate hand washing, especially in cluster meetings, schools, and especially in the events. We also engage the religious groups, because they are very potential in the rural areas. They have a major role play in the rural areas, so if they can understand the need of the sanitation, they can preach it to the next rest of the village members. We celebrate different WASH events, especially hand washing day and sanitation day. Till now, in terms of the achievements broadly, I would say we increased the knowledge, awareness, I would say, on hygiene issues and sanitation issues. Latrines are being maintained. They are using the latrines nowadays after they've been motivated. The operation and maintenance costs are being borne by the clients for the piped water supply system. School authorities understood that there is a need for the special latrine for a girl to eliminate the girls dropping from the school, and they're sharing the cost. Rural sanitations are being increased. And lastly, increase the collaboration with the government and other NGOs. In terms of the toilet coverage, grants benefited about 800,000 in our program areas. We provided loan for 180,000 families. We converted 2.5 million latrines to hygienic latrines, because there are latrines which are not really hygienic. There are some issues that you have to transfer it to inhygienic to hygienic one. We facilitated the access of 1.08 million households to the government fundings and other funds. We mobilized 1.6 million families independently to construct latrines. We established 2,300 rural sanitation centers and installed 4,000 and above latrines in the school, secondary schools. Next, please. The challenges are there, but we are trying to work on that. I mean, especially reaching out to the underserved population and hard-to-reach areas, particularly for the poor women, and ensure the safe hygienic practices or have a long-term behavioral change, putting the knowledge to action. Sustainability is another issue. After being enhanced the capacity of the stakeholders and the villagers, whether we can sustain the issue of having a proper sanitation, accessibility, and safe water in the area. Sanitation in slums, as well as for migrated and floating populations, is another challenge. And changing the traditional gender roles in water-related activities. The innovations and other things are always there that documentation and dissemination of these practices to the rest of the world. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Haak. And I'll move on to Cambodia now. Mr. Klan Mab, who's come all the way from Cambodia to talk a little bit about what he's doing in the international development enterprises. Mr. Mab.
Okay, thank you. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Klan Mab from Cambodia. I would like to share the real challenge sanitation in Cambodia. Okay. Just a short, brief Cambodian profile. Yes, population is 14.8 million. GDP is 931 per capita, and sanitation rate is 42%, just updated by GMP, updated by WHO and UNICEF 2013. Okay. I just take only three. It means that the experience, I mean, top three sanitation challenge from the field in the Cambodia. Yeah. One is, I just talking about limited awareness. Most of the people, they open defecation is actually acceptable. This is the real, the experience in the field. Yep. And people are not aware of the cost of no latrine. And villager perceive that latrine is very expensive. Yep. And the household cannot access the latrine because of the regular income, you know, like based on the season. Some season they have high income, they can purchase a latrine, but some season cannot, okay. And also it's lack of information, you know, it means that if they want to buy a latrine, they cannot go to buy, okay. Like see, you can see here in a lot of problem that with open defecation. So when the problem happen, the solution will be happen, you know. Okay. This is like one option. We just give the brand an easy latrine. This is just one brand, you know. Okay. And this is like the another, like it means like product development, like second produce, product, you know. Like this is like we call three speed ring. It is easy to transport. It is not waste the time, you know. It means put a lot of cement ring on one truck, you know. Okay. And this you can see just like picture, okay. This is like Jack Sim said, we are going to develop the product like a sexy latrine because some people, they would like complete set of latrine, you know. They want a sexy latrine, so it is possible for them to the future, you know. Okay, and the second is limit to access supply constraint, you know. Like supply constraint, it means that latrine market is already exist but not function very well. It means very hard for the household go to buy the latrine. It means that they go to many places to buy to buy one latrine, you know, like too many shops, you know, it's like that, you know. And so we have to design a low-cost latrine technology, you know, and then the entrepreneur can adapt and train them how to produce and how to sell, you know. And somehow we have the problem with the supplier as well. Sometimes supplier is not enough money to produce stock, you know. And difficult road to transfer or delivery from the business place to the household, okay. And the third, I want to show that the challenge is the third. Just go ahead. Okay, third. Oh, I missed talk. Yeah. One more. Yes, subsidy. I just said that subsidy is like, from my experience, it means that to destroy, delay household to purchase a latrine. I'm not mean that subsidy is very bad, but should be set up a very good policy to do a subsidy. This is okay. Okay, next. Achievement, you know, in our program, in 3-year program, right now we are working with local entrepreneur to achieve 75,000 latrine delivery by end of 2013, you know. And we hope that it will be double for next year. Okay. And right now we have 140 latrine business owner. It means that they are produce and sell the latrine, you know. And with 290 sales agent, it means that, okay, sales agent is like supply side, demand side. Supply side is like mean the business, you know. It means sales agent can stimulate demand to working in a village level and then sell a latrine, you know. Okay, go ahead. Next step for us, I mean that our program has to scale up sanitation financing because some people may not have enough money to purchase a latrine, so they will use loan, you know. And we will do a product development, like we see, three-piece ring, shelter design, and chamber box. This is is very good for the household. Yeah, okay. I say thank you. Yeah, this is the result. Yeah.
Thank you very much. We'll just move on now to Ms. Tanya Khan, who is the coordinator for Pakistan of the WSSCC.
The distinguished delegates, ladies and gentlemen, a very good evening. Before I say a few words, I think we have a short 3 minutes documentary which needs to be put up.
अपन जिंदगी में छोट छोट बात ख्याले नहीं करती कही हमार गरीब लोगन के जैसे सफा टॉयलेट और सफा खाना पानी फोक पड़ला सबसे भारी मोर अंधर छोरक लाग बाहर दिशा कहीं और उठारो पड़त
दगद दगद जे छोटो हैदान लागत ओ गिरेक दे रही थूं ओ गाय बच्चों से भैंसीन से ऊंचा मारे दे रही थूं तो चोट लागत कह के हाल भागतूं कह के
दो लोगों से बस आए कपड़ा का कपड़ा खराब थी ना
at kering frela godan mane furu ni godan ma mane hali to ti ba per khani to ti krop godan te mane sura lage ba latrin me ba sai na to ve sake ne masala mane ya thi na ne jo ko mane vai kon sake ko mane ye bithe per ya bara thi
నా పేరు శ్రియ, ఎయిత్ క్లాస్ చదువుతున్నా. నేను ప్రతిరోజు స్కూల్కి వెళ్తున్నాను. మా స్కూల్లో టాయిలెట్స్ బాగాలేకపోవడం వలన క్లాసులు డిస్టర్బ్ అవుతున్నాయి. పీరియడ్స్ టైంలో మరుగుదొడ్డి లేకపోవడం వలన నేను 3-5 డేస్ ఇంటి దగ్గరనే ఉంటున్నాను. అందువలన నేను నెలలో అది టీచర్స్ చెప్పే పాఠాలు నేర్చుకోకపోవడం వలన
పాలసీ బాగుంది కానీ ఇంప్లిమెంటేషనే బాగలేదు సార్. యాక్చువల్గా మనం తాగునీటికి బాగా శ్రద్ధ చూపి ప్రయారిటీ ఇస్తున్నాం కానీ ఈ టాయిలెట్స్కు రన్నింగ్ వాటర్ కోసం ఎక్కువగా ప్రయారిటీ ఇవ్వకపోవడం వల్ల కూడా ఇబ్బంది అవుతుందండి.
నాప్కిన్స్ ఉపయోగించడం వల్ల మేము ఇంట్లో ఉపయోగిస్తున్నాం, స్కూల్లో కూడా ఉపయోగిస్తున్నాం నాప్కిన్స్ని. ఇవి ఉపయోగించడం వల్ల చాలా సౌకర్యవంతంగా ఉంది. ఇదివరకు మాకు లీకేజ్ టెన్షన్ ఉండి అమ్మో ఎట్లా ఎలా అని ఆలోచించేవాళ్ళం. కాకపోతే ఇప్పుడు పాఠం శ్రద్ధగా వింటున్నాం, ఏ టెన్షన్ లేకుండా మంచి క్లాస్ ఫస్ట్ కూడా వస్తాను నేను.
ప్రజలు ఇది కావాలని చెప్పి కోరడం ఒకటి, ఇచ్చినటువంటి పథకాన్ని ఏంటంటే సమర్థవంతంగా వినియోగించుకోవడం కోసం ఇది నాది నా అవసరం, ఇది నా అవసరానికి నేను ఇది నాదిగా భావించి వినియోగించుకోవాలనేటువంటి ఒక పట్టుదలతోటి ఆ ఆలోచనతోటి ఏంటంటే వినియోగించుకోవడం అనేది జరుగుతుంది, అక్కడ సక్సెస్ అవుతుంది.
ఆరోగ్యమైన మైండ్ ఉంటుందని కూడా తెలుసు.
Thank you. Today, on the World Toilet Day, I would be shedding some light on the South Asian countries' perspectives on working progressively to achieve an open defecation-free and hygienic South Asia. I must highlight that the last decade has improved sanitation and hygiene for hundreds of millions of people in the South Asia region. Otherwise, the region is lagging behind in MDG targets on sanitation. The governments of South Asian countries have taken significant steps for institutionalizing and strengthening and financing of the sector. The last month, at a regional meeting in Nepal, governments from South Asia adopted a declaration recognizing the need to protect rights of the citizens and to guarantee their access to safe water and sanitation. There is a commitment to further accelerate sanitation and hygiene behavior change by the South Asian governments to meet the Millennium Development Goals and move towards implementing the United Nations Secretary General's call to action on sanitation. We recognize sanitation as a matter of justice and equity with a powerful multiplier effect that unlocks measurable benefits in health, nutrition, education, poverty eradication, economic growth, and tourism, while also reducing discrimination and empowering communities, especially infants, children, adolescent girls, women, the elderly, and people with disabilities in rural and urban areas. We gather here today to recognize that the time for sanitation is now and that we must capitalize on the strong political will and local leadership and community ownership demonstrated through the South Asian countries to boost sanitation coverage and improve hygiene practices substantially by 2015. The South Asian countries have unanimously agreed and committed to open defecation-free South Asia by 2023 and to progressively move towards sustainable environmental sanitation. In order to achieve this, There's a commitment to create a framework and enabling environment, including policies, strategies, and protocols, and the conditions for the fulfillment of the need for universal sanitation and hygiene. Women and men, children, adolescent girls, people with disabilities, and the elderly. There's a commitment to formulate and develop and implement adequate resource sanitation and hygiene plans with smart indicators that measure and report on processes and outcomes at every level. Given that sanitation is about changing social norms, demand creation, we commit to addressing diversity in service provision for infants, children, youth, adolescent girls, women and men, people with disabilities, chronically ill and elderly in rural areas, and people affected by poverty and disasters further exacerbated by climate change. There is a commitment to prioritize and promote child and disabled-friendly services and menstrual hygiene management in all public buildings, and especially schools, health clinics, and reflect and monitor this in standards, design, delivery, and monitoring. We have committed to develop and implement the guidelines and standards suitable for a child, adolescent, and gender and disabled-friendly wash facilities with compliance indicators on hand washing and menstrual hygiene education and practice. There's a lot of focus on raising awareness at all levels to foster demand and build capacity for sanitation and hygiene, including but not limited to youth-led movements, pro-poor public-private partnerships, and not to forget the role of the media. Engagement with the health sector at all levels in sanitation and hygiene promotion as critical agents of preventive healthcare is being emphasized. The South Asian governments are committed to emphasize on research and development on low-cost, appropriate sanitation products, link with sanitation marketing and innovative solutions for environmentally sound sanitation systems. And lastly, we commit to significant direct participation of children, adolescents, women, and elderly, and people with disabilities, as well as decision makers from health, education, environment, and finance to bring their voices into the policy making. In the end, I further call on the development banks, external support agencies, civil society, and the private sector to increase their support to our efforts to provide financial and technical assistance for sanitation and hygiene behavior change, coordinating their efforts for maximum synergy and impact in South Asia. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Khan. Last but not least, Alex Kent, the International Campaigns Manager from WaterAid. Alex, you have the floor.
Thank you, Ambassador, and thank you to the Singaporean government for organising this event. Take your mind back to the last time you emptied your bowels. It may not be that long ago. Did you do it beside the road or outside in the middle of the night in the hope that you wouldn't be seen? Did you travel far, fear shame or even your safety when you're on the toilet? The chances are you didn't. The chances are you went, you flushed, you forgot about it. Now imagine a morning walk along the Hudson, picking your way through piles of feces. Imagine the flies, the stench, the germs. This might be hard to picture, and yet, as we've repeatedly heard today, this is the daily reality for 1 billion people around the world who defecate in the open, and a third of humanity who don't have access to a safe toilet. Sanitation is the most off track of the MDGs. All too often, it's in the shadows of development. After all, it means talking about poos, toilets, and periods. Well, today it's coming into the spotlight. WaterAid and our many partners are campaigning for toilets across the world. We've even made a toilet sing about it. Today we're also launching this report, We Can't Wait, which we've co-authored with WaterAid, with the Water Sanitation Collaborative Council and Unilever. The report talks about sanitation as a women's issue. How women and girls are at risk of sexual violence when they go in search of a place when they defecate in the open. And how women and girls are in constant risk of infection, especially when they use dirty rags to manage their period and live with the shame of not being able to talk about it. But the good news, as this also this in this report, is it outlines what can be done. Ending the global sanitation crisis is possible. After all, we know what to do. WaterAid has been doing it for over 30 years. In the last year alone, we helped get sanitation to 2.2 billion people. But we also realize that this is merely the tip of the iceberg. We cannot solve this crisis alone. Government, civil society, and corporations must now come together. They must first keep their commitments and attend, at a senior level, Sanitation and Water for All high-level meeting in April next year. They must also, UN member states, must put safe water and sanitation at the heart of the post-2015 agenda and include a standalone goal on universal access to water and sanitation and hygiene by 2030. When the MDGs were formulated, sanitation wasn't even included. It came along later as an afterthought. We cannot let history repeat itself. Ending poverty is simply not possible unless we tackle the global sanitation crisis. The UN's recognition of Water Toilet Day is a hugely welcome step in the right direction. But now we must look beyond today and towards the future. With sanitation progress currently stalled and population growth due to grow to 9 billion by 2015, I'll let you imagine for yourself the kind of world we'll live in if we don't. Thank you.
Thank you, Alex. We're running a little bit, you know, behind schedule, but I think I'll open the floor for some questions and comments. For those of you who are using the equipment for the first time, if you wish to speak, please press the button below the microphone and the system will register the request. Okay, so I think I have the Netherlands. Ambassador, you have the floor.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Anyone hear me? I apologize for this noise. Madam Chair, thank you very much for the government of Singapore to organize this very important event. I was having a prepared speech, but I thought I might read something from reactions to my tweet on this day. And it's amazing how far the distance is between people, in this case in the Netherlands, and the event we're having here. And some people in the Netherlands are making jokes about this day and are saying, why are you attending this? Why is this important? And I'm retweeting, and I'm telling them why this is important. And let me just share some of the things why we think it's important. First of all, I'm very proud that my current king, who used to be crown prince, was a special advocate on water and sanitation for a period until he became king, beginning of this year. But for my government, water and sanitation, especially sanitation issues, have been to the core of our policy when it came to the MDGs. There's all the major arguments have already been used. I would like to add one, a report from the World Bank, which estimated that a total loss, economic loss, of lack of access to sanitation could amount to approximately $260 billion annually. It's an enormous amount. And that's why my government believes that better sanitation is key to achieving the MDGs. For my government, we have this as a key element on our agenda. And in cooperation with multilateral partners, we focus especially on fragile and off-track countries. And we have partnership programs with UNICEF, and we are providing in the coming years additional support to increase access to water and sanitation to 16 off-track countries. And as some of the panelists have already mentioned, the fact that so many countries are off-track and there's so much has to be done, it is especially true in fragile states in sub-Saharan Africa. And of course, as one of the founding fathers, we are proud to be an active member of the Steering Committee on Sanitation and Water for All, SWOA, and they will have a new meeting in spring together with the Ministers of Finance. And what we try to do is to include Ministers of Finance as much as possible. I mean, the key question for us all is, one, to achieve the MDGs before 2015. That's not going to happen. But then subsequently, it's key to include water and sanitation in the post-2015 agenda. And the obvious question to relevant panelists is, how can we do that? What would be the best way? And how can we include the leftovers from the MDGs into the post-2015 agenda? Thank you very much, Madam President.
Thank you, Karel. I don't know. Would you like to answer that question, Jack? What more we can do to accelerate so that we can achieve the MDGs?
Yes, I think just now, from IDE Cambodia mentioned that giving free toilet, giving subsidy, sometimes is destructive. And I think one of the things we should do is try to move all the support to building capacity for the market to be efficient and functioning. Because there is a lot of money that needs instant gratification, but it did not build the capacity to absorb the solution and make it self-sustainable. So I think we need to stop counting toilets, but to help them to help themselves. If this new approach thinking, we could solve the problem from the point of view of the poor rather than for the ego of the donor. A lot of donors are creating rivalry between the actors. You see, the NGOs comes out to do good, and they don't want to be competing with one another. It's the donor who makes them do so. And I think the earlier we stop this habit, the earlier we can get collaborative, inclusive, open source technology. Everybody come together and share. And I think we can cut the cost of delivering 100% sanitation coverage sustainably if we change our mindset. And instead of the NGO trying to serve the wish of the donor, they should try to serve the needs of the poor.
Thank you, Jack. Alex, I think maybe you would want to comment on this.
Thank you for the question as well. And I think I'm kind of glad that you mentioned the Sanitation and Water for All partnership. I think the thing is also a lot of commitments have been made, and it's very much about keeping the commitments as well and making sure that the finances are actually put in place and that there's actually plans to deliver them now as well. So both keeping, making sure that the profile of the Sanitation and Water for All partnership is met, that those commitments are made, and that the African states that set promise that it would give 0.5% of their GDP to sanitation can need to continue to do so.
Thank you, Alex. Ms. Khan, I think you wanted to say
something. Yeah, I just wanted to respond in the sense that, as we all are aware, that sanitation has not been a priority area previously. But we must say that the efforts the last decade has been actually aligning the sector. We may, unfortunately, are missing on addressing our MDG targets, but surely there has been a lot of effort being put together on aligning the sector. And we do understand that, yes, the timing has been short, but the commitment on reaching out to these targets by 2020 or 2025 is surely an achievable target. Some of the things that, you know, we have highlighted and the other panelists have pointed out, and if consciously this momentum is built, there's certainly a very positive feeling that, yes, we will be addressing the MDGs post-2015, certainly will be setting the tone.
Thank you. I have three speakers who have asked for the floor, Brazil, Belarus, and Serbia. I'm just wondering whether these are specific questions to the panelists or whether these are general statements, because maybe we can then take them up in the second part when we're discussing the sanitation post-2015. Would you want to speak now? If you do want to speak now, please put up your hand so I can... I'll give the floor to... And Brazil, I think you can wait. Okay. Belarus, please, you have the floor. Belarus.
Thank you very much. Actually, I'm Jason Cass with Toilets for People, but I'm in the Belarus chair. Thank you for letting me sit here. There was some discussion before about sanitation in flood-prone areas, and I just wanted to revisit that for a second. Poor flush toilets and pit latrines work great in most areas, but they don't work in flood-prone areas. So my question for the panel, and specifically any of the panelists that are from flood-prone areas, is what's being done in those regions where typical off-the-shelf technologies don't work and where disease spreads the fastest because of the either elevated groundwater or closeness to the coastline. Thank you.
Thank you. Could you repeat where you're from, please?
I'm with an organization called Toilets for People.
Thank you.
I can just share my experience from our program that we are now working in the flood-prone area, and we have already explored the thing that to have a low-cost elevated latrines. We have done with the help of WTO. The technology has been designed by us, but supported by given by the WTO. And we are also exploring the idea of this submergible that will lift off the top one to the flooded area. But that could be an expensive, but we are exploring those things that whether it can be applicable in the flooded area. Thank you.
I would like to point out that in Pakistan in 2010, we had this massive flood, and that gave us an opportunity to actually align the sector. And there was a lot of work done on latrine technology designs and options. And then one of the critical points was to make sure that this gets disseminated to the wider population, because we had 22 million people who had gotten affected. Yes, there has been work done on this, and there's been a lot of experience shared and lessons learned from other regions as well.
Thank you. Serbia, are you from Serbia or are you speaking? if you are from Serbia, fine, but if not, could you please introduce yourself? Thank you.
Is that okay? Actually, I'm not from Serbia. I probably look like I'm from Serbia. My name is Victoria Bolam, and I'm from Lixil, which is now one of the world's leading toilet makers, among other things. And I'm here with American Standard, which is one of our group companies. First of all, I'd very much like to thank you for inviting the private sector here. As one of the leading global toilet makers, we're very interested in contributing to solving the sanitation issue, and we'd very much like to be invited more and more to these discussions so that we can take leadership. Just one comment. I see that the 2.5 billion people without access to proper sanitation, that statistic is used again and again. And I think to encourage people's interest in the wider audience, it's important for us to keep refreshing and making this interesting for people that aren't necessarily directly involved in the business. So I'd just like to share one statistic that we calculated, which is by 2020, the amount of human excrement that is likely to be produced by the world is enough to take you to the sun and back twice. So maybe going forward, we can all think of more interesting statistics to engage the wider audience. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much, and that is a statistic that will probably be used quite often. Thank you. Okay, I think we will move on to the final segment. It just remains for me to thank the panelists for their contributions. I do appreciate you taking the time for some of you to come all the way here to New York. And I'm now going to turn the room around. I think for some of you, you may want to take a little break. But thank you again. And let's just give a round of applause to the panelists. And can I invite the panelists for the final section to please come up to the podium? Okay, so we are now in the final session, which is a panel discussion on sanitation in the post-2015 development agenda. Various speakers this afternoon have pointed out that the MDG target for sanitation is lagging. This panel discussion is timely because the 2015 MDG deadline is just 2 years away. We need to accelerate efforts to achieve the MDG target for sanitation. We should not lose sight of the fact that the implications of the sanitation issue are multifaceted. It influences health, education, and gender issues, as well as the economy. In this regard, discussions on the Sustainable Development Goals and post-2015 development agenda have begun. Intergovernmental discussions on the SDGs are still at an early stage, while negotiations on the post-2015 development agenda will start in September 2014. Against this backdrop, it is important to consider how sanitation and water can be positioned as part of the SDGs and post-2015 development frameworks. How can we build on the MDG sanitation goal? Should sanitation and water be a standalone goal, or should we focus on its cross-cutting importance? What kind of framework is needed to ensure sanitation for all post-2015? These are some of the questions that I hope the distinguished panel this afternoon will address. This panel will therefore be an opportunity to hear the views of representatives from governments and international organizations, as well as the private sector. We look forward to an enriching exchange of views. Now let me introduce the speakers in speaking order. Let me just get this right. We'll start with Ms. Therese Dooley, the Senior Advisor for UNICEF, who will give a presentation on water, sanitation, and hygiene as an SDG and positioning it for the post-2015 development agenda. She will be followed by Ambassador Peter Thompson, the permanent representative of Fiji and the chair of the Group of 77 in China. Thereafter, we'll have Ambassador Csaba Korosi, the permanent representative of Hungary, who's a member of the steering committee of the Group of Friends on Water and Sanitation, as well as the co-chair of the open-ended working group on SDGs. From South Africa, we have the permanent representative, Ambassador Jeremiah Kingsley Mamabolo, followed by Dr. Val Curtis, the director of the Hygiene Centre, London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine, and finally, Mr. Jean-Laurent Inglis, Senior Vice President of Unilever. So as in the previous segment, I would request speakers to try to restrict their comments to about 5 minutes. I know it's difficult to be specific, but then this will allow time for us to have a good question and answer session. So with that, Therese, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Ambassador, and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. What I've been asked to do really is to talk about proposals for the post-2015 WASH, and I think everyone is familiar with water sanitation and hygiene targets and indicators. Under the MDG monitoring, there was a process known as the Joint Monitoring Program, which UNICEF and WHO were given responsibility for. And it's when you hear the figures of 2.5 billion and 1 billion open defecators, it's from that data collection and analysis that you get those figures. About 2 years ago, the JMP and various governments or various agencies and members decided, let's start to prepare for post-2015. Let's start to look at what we need. And really it was to make sure that we had commonality across groups and across people to look at where we should move post-2015. There was overall agreement in very simple aspirational vision of the importance of everybody having the universal right to water, sanitation, and hygiene. To look at inequalities, to look at level of service, to look beyond households, and most importantly, to address the issue of sustainability. The shared vision that everybody came up with was that no one practices open defecation. Everybody has safe water and sanitation at home. All schools and health centres are included. And water, sanitation and hygiene are accessed by everybody. In order to reach this, we went through an aggressive consultation process. The first meeting was held in Berlin in 2011, and within that there was four technical groups established, and that was sanitation, which was led by the World Bank, our colleagues at WSP, the water group, which was led by WaterAid and IRC of the Netherlands, hygiene, which was led by USAID, equity and non-discrimination, which was led by Catherine de Albuquerque, the UN Secretary General's Special Rapporteur on Human Rights. And each group consulted very, very broadly and way beyond just the 9 or 10 technical specialists. The whole idea of this was to have as broad a consultation moving forward as possible. And then 18 months later, in December 2012, these groups came back together for a second meeting to really look at the proposals put forward by each of these groups. It also considered or recommended the establishment of a fifth working group on advocacy and communication, and that group is led by the Water Supply and Sanitation Collaborative Council, and all the materials that you're seeing shared are developed as a common output of that project.
So basically, if we look at what we had up to 2015, was we had one target, which was to halve by 2015 the number of people without sustainable access to safe drinking water and basic sanitation. And that had two indicators, one relating to improved sanitation and one relating to drinking water. So that was it in the MDGs. That was what was there. It was known as Target 7C under the MDG sustainable environmental sustainability target. The big issue was how do you propose something, because as everybody who works within a UN framework in that knows, it's not possible to have 150 pages of a target. We actually have to get it down to what's critical and what's needed. And despite a lot of consultations, we went from one target to a proposal for four detailed targets. But the reason for this was simple, and that was to do what was achievable within a time frame. So, for example, to set a target to eliminate open defecation by 2025. And as we heard, you know, from those who were in South Asia, South Asian countries have committed to do that by 2023 already. The same thing, you know, AfriCasan takes place next year. It'll be really interesting because some countries have already individually pledged to do it by 2018, 2020. But we believe that to eliminate open defecation by 2025 is something that's doable and achievable. And then to look at by 2030, to look at schools, health centres and access to basic facilities in all households. So, I mean, I think this is a really difference in move from the doable to the next level. Next, please. The third target is again to put in a 2040, which maybe is too far. And I think we're really looking at the SDGs, you know, coming in within 2030, but then to also sort of figure out what is the next step beyond universal access. Once everybody has something, what are the next levels you can build on the chain? But most importantly is to look at all drinking water, sanitation and hygiene services are really delivered in an affordable and accountable and financially and environmentally sustainable manner. Because we do sometimes produce and put in services and we discover that they're unsustainable in the long term. Next, please. So one of the things as well that is recommended for the post-2015 agenda is to have robust definitions because I think we have to be really, really clear on this. In the past, they were very generic, and what were you monitoring and how can you count apples and oranges when measurements may be different across countries? But to move from 2 indicators to 14 indicators is quite a lot. But I want to give you a taste and flavour of what has been coming through. I'm not going to go into the details. I think everybody has a copy of the fact sheets, which are it's called Water Supply and Sanitation in the post-2015, a cornerstone of the post-2015 agenda, and you'll get to read it there if you want details. But to look at indicators like percentage of population practicing open defecation, which we don't currently have in the MDGs, to look at schools and healthcare centres and that everyone having access not just to sanitation but also to adequate hand-washing facilities in the home, for example. To look at overall indicators such as pupils enrolled in primary schools and their access, the access of people in hospitals and health centres and other buildings to basic services. And to look at the fact that everyone can use adequate sanitation at home. So this is taking it to the next level. And finally, the last set of targets or indicators, I beg your pardon, would be the percentage of the population living in households whose excreta is fully and safely managed. Target 4, again, as I mentioned, the indicators within this really relate to sustainability. And the main indicators on these cross-cutting areas would be looking at the regulatory authorities, looking at urban and rural disaggregation, looking at poverty disaggregation, and annual revenue expended on maintenance and operation to ensure sustainability. And indeed, looking at water produced and water consumption and getting into the renewable resources elements. The next steps, which I think is really important, and this is my last slide, is to look at validating some more of the indicators with stakeholder participation so that we can ensure if we do get some of these targets and indicators onto the post-2015 agenda, that we have robust measurement and data capturing mechanisms to try and collect as much information as we currently have on the indicators which are beyond our 2015 indicators, and really to engage in high-level stakeholders and raise the profile and approach of champion countries, because we have to acknowledge that within sanitation and indeed within water, but within sanitation, we have some countries that are going to achieve the current MDGs, and they've done really, really well on this. And I think we should learn from those countries and really see how we go. And also to see within open working groups on the sustainable development goals, and to seek the support of member states to actually support a post-2015 goals and indicators for sanitation. For more information on the processes that have been followed, or if you're really interested in specific details, you'll find it all on the wssinfo.org website. Thank you.
Thank you, Therese. That was very helpful, and I think it helps us, you know, get our mind around the indicators and the targets. Next, we have Ambassador Peter Thompson speaking at the PermRep of Fiji. Peter, you have the floor.
Thank you very much, Karen, and thank you for bringing us together here. We're so grateful to Singapore for all the energy that's putting into this area of improving sanitation around the world. I've got a G77 statement here, but I won't read it because I know you're running short of time, and I think it'll be on the website. But what I wanted to say is that, first of all, I'm passionate about this area of improving sanitation because it was one of the first areas that I concentrated on when I began in public service in the Fiji government in 1972. I spent 6 years in rural development as a district officer, and in my districts, around about 50% of the villages, I suppose, were equipped with open pit toilets. And using those toilets, as I did for 6 years, you didn't have to be a genius to work out that the distance that a fly could fly from those open pit toilets to not only the food that we were eating, but the eyes of the babies that were lying in the adjacent village houses and so on, was a cause of a great deal of ill health that was being suffered in those areas. Now, I make that point not for self-glorification, but for the point that my experience during that time, and I have to say I did something about it for 6 years. There was never a day out the back of my office where we weren't making cement slabs and risers, which we got, I think, from WHO or UNICEF. I can't remember which. It was 1972 to 1978. All we had to do was mix the cement, put a bit of rebar in, put these metal casings around, and then we were supplied, as I say, either by UNICEF or WHO, with a plastic S-bend that we put in, and these were the pore flush toilets, which were, you know, not a great step forward in technology, but were enough to create water seal that stopped the problem that I was alluding to earlier. Interesting thing, though, was that I never had a problem in getting a politician to come down and open a feeder road or open a classroom or a community hall or some seawall that we had just built. But I could never get a politician to come down and open, you know, a village pore flush latrine system that we had spent 4 months getting in place. And the point that I'm making is, and I think it's one that Jack has made many times to you all, which is that, you know, you've got to make this subject sexy to the politicians as well as to the families so that, you know, that people will start seeing it as part of their responsibility. And the shame should lie not in in your public addresses as a politician having to talk about toilets and sanitation. The shame should lie in your government or you as a politician not embracing this as a central responsibility of yours. So I think that's the point that I wanted to make about that experience of mine from back in the dim dark days of the 1970s. Look, from the G77 address that was prepared, I think there's a couple of things that I'd say. I was going to put in a little pun there just for Jack's benefit about how, you know, we all know about the statistics and they certainly stink. But, you know, 1.1 billion people is just unacceptable, and that is the opening gambit for what we've got to do in the post-2015 development agenda process. For the group, there's the foundation for all this, of course, is the Muscat Declaration of Water, 2009. That is the foundation for the group's ongoing advocacy for the centrality of water and sanitation in the sustainable development process. Second point which I'd make from the group is that we reiterate our stand that improving and promoting easy access to water and sanitation production is fundamental to the eradication of poverty. This stands in accordance with the MDGs and the Integrated Water Resources Management Approach. The other thing I'd just quickly like to do is acknowledge the progress that is being achieved. Particularly, I'd like to highlight the progress that we're getting through South-South cooperation mechanisms in some countries of the Asia-Pacific region, Africa and GRULAC. We're working on replicating these performances where they have been successful in South-South cooperation in other developing countries where they haven't. I also want to take this opportunity to acknowledge tremendous efforts by the WASH programs, Water Supply, Sanitation and Hygiene, and their assistance to national governments and to projects on the ground. Many of these projects are assisting and mobilizing communities, those in rural areas in particular. Look, I'll just conclude with the two paragraphs that were prepared for me before I attack them with spaghetti. This is what our experts wanted me to say. As our dialogue on the post-2015 development agenda progresses, we must remember that great disparity in advancement towards the achievement of water and sanitation targets still exists in developing countries. If we are to mitigate the great health risks that loom from rapid urbanization and burgeoning population growth, we must accept the imperative of providing access to improved water and sanitation services and the necessity of expediting the sharing and learning processes of providing these services. Ladies and gentlemen, I suggest that by the very act of focusing the world's attention on this pivotal issue of sanitation through the commemoration of World Toilet Day, we have in fact become advocates here at the UN for the acceptance of water and sanitation as a central part of the post-2015 development agenda. And as advocates, it follows that we are working here towards the many positive outcomes in health, gender equality, economic prosperity, and personal dignity that will surely result. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Peter. And I'm sure a lot of people didn't realize about your past. Well, I'm not sure if Ambassador Chaba has the same background in toilets, but certainly I know you're very passionate about water issues, and I give you the floor now. Thank you.
Thank you much, Karen. My passion goes to the sanitation as well. But may I invite you to look into a crystal ball? Since the title of this panel is Sanitation and the Post-2015 Agenda, let me ask you first, what is post-2015 agenda? And then let me also ask, what is sanitation in the terms of sustainability? Let's take it in a reverse order. How the post-2015 agenda may look like? By September 2014, the Open Working Group is going to produce the set of SDGs, and the financial group is going to produce its report, and most probably the GA will take a proper action on that. But then we need to start another round of intergovernmental process. Why? Because we have a lot of issues to be pulled together to make sure that dots will be connected by the end of 2015. What kind of dots, what kind of pulling exercise should take place? The SDGs should be brought together in a very harmonious way with the financial issues. The second, we need a process management. We need to plan our activities for 15 years ahead. In the case of the MDGs, we did not have any process management. We have to make sure that whatever we decide upon will be implemented, will be measured, and will be evaluated and re-evaluated. We need to make an institutional health checkup. If we have a number of SDGs, we need to have a look at whether or not our institutions will be of the best support for the implementation of each and every SDG. We also need to build in throughout the 2015, the results of the climate change negotiations. By the time we need to produce the SDGs, there won't be any result yet. But climate change is a game changer. So we have to make sure it comes into the equation of the Sustainable Development Agenda. And we, last but not least, we need to harmonize plans. We understand that the sustainable development will be an accumulative outcome of our national actions. It's not the paper what we all are jointly going to produce. It is going to inspire most of us, probably. But what we are doing back at home, it will take us towards sustainable development. Of course, building up on the cooperation as well. So once we have this agenda, then what do we mean by sanitation in terms of sustainable development? Sanitation in terms of sustainability. For the time being, for the simplicity of the issue, and because of the day we have today, we talk about toilets, which is the starting point. But I'm here to ask you to connect dots. If you wish, follow the sludge. Because the story does not end at the container. The meaning of the sanitation in terms of sustainable development is the human waste management as part of the wastewater management. The toilet is a part of the story. It is not the whole story itself. For the time being, in the MDG framework, it is the story. It will be carried on, but we will need to take it into a broader context. Some aspects will be involved, many, many aspects, actually. Peter mentioned many of them, and the previous speakers also, human rights, health, gender, integrated water resource management, wastewater management, poverty eradication, governance, investment, technology development, professional training, all these will be concentrated and find its way into the sanitation in terms of sustainable development. Let me also offer you some data on the top of what has been said already today. The problem is not only that we are lagging behind the schedule in the implementation of the MDG 7. Let's be quite frank. The sanitation part of the MDG 7 is going to be implemented fully by the pace we have today by 2075. It's a shame. It cannot be accepted. Another data, lacking proper sanitation in connection with our wastewater management is an accumulated debt against the next generation. It's not going away. We are going to pay for that very dearly. If not we, then our children. But our children will have to pay for that much more than what we think are economizing on that. Third one, we have a rapid urbanization process. Every week, 1 million people move into the cities all over the world. Our systems, cities, infrastructure, including water and sanitation infrastructure, does not follow that. We have to reverse the curve. If we don't do that, our cities will become hubs of major infections. And let me just remind you that bacteria react less and less on our today's existing antibiotics. Another very sad data. We used to speak about schools, working facilities, homes, where we need the connection to sanitation services. Let's not forget about refugee facilities. It's something what we don't want to have in the world. But the sad reality, the number of people living in refugee facilities is now over 20 million. And the number is growing. Actually, it is the population of two medium-sized countries. And unfortunately, the number is just growing. So what should be done and what might be done? First of all, we have to learn from the lessons of the past and present. We need to link the regulation of the freshwater market and the sanitation market. If they are decoupled, the sanitation market will always lag behind. And we are not going to fulfill our plans. The second, we need to have, and I was very pleased to hear the colleague from Singapore, we need to have proper pricing, both for water and sanitation. It should be affordable and it should be reasonable to be run. Third, we need efficient national regulations among water and sanitation users. How much burden we put on our resources and how jointly we are going to manage our infrastructure. Last but not least, we need training, training, training. One of the reasons the sanitation target has not been met is certainly money, but the most important, we don't have enough qualified people. Even if we would have the money at hand, for example, in sub-Saharan Africa, 300% increase of training would be required from this year to the next one. 250% would be this indicator for Asia. 50% would it be for Latin America. We need capacity building and we need training, not only PhDs, but technicians, to make sure that our systems can be run and maintained. Thank you much, Karim.
Thank you very much, Java. I think you gave us a lot of food for thought with your very practical suggestions. Your statistics might be a little bit depressing, but I think it's a call to action. We move on now to Ambassador Kingsley Mamabolo, the permanent representative of South Africa. You have the floor, Kingsley.
Thank you, Ambassador Karen Ten. Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, as we commemorate this very important day, let me just indicate that in South Africa, this is a matter of central to development, matter of life and death. It is an issue that in which the government stands or falls. Back home there, they call it, if the people don't get the services, they call it service delivery. And they rebel, they protest, they demonstrate their anger if indeed this issue is not made accessible to them. And so I have been told here to tell you what we are doing in South Africa, so I'll refer to the national position that I have here. Because indeed we've had to grapple with these problems you would know that the government of the day took over from a legacy left behind by the apartheid regime, in which South Africa really, if you recall the bucket systems and the many other problems we had. And so not to run away from the national position, I'll go back to my statements. In South Africa, the right of the poor people, just like every member of society, are enshrined in the Bill of Rights of the Constitution of the Republic. The bill stipulates that government has a primary responsibility to respect, protect, and promote the rights of all members of society without distinction. The government has the responsibility to take appropriate measures to ensure that poor people are able to meet their needs as a constitutional imperative. On the issues, for example, of housing and infrastructure programs, in 2009, the Department of Housing renamed itself and called itself the Department of Human Settlement. The reason behind this was to change policy in terms of the provisions, in terms of houses, provision of houses to society. Instead of only providing a roof over people's heads, the new approach considered that a house will be considered complete and habitable if it has the following criteria: if it has running water, if it has electricity, if it has sanitation, toilet. In order to achieve this objective, the Department of Human Settlement set itself a target to upgrade settlements in 2009. The 2011 consensus results indicate that households with flush toilets connected to sewage system increased by 57% from 50% in 2001. Household with no toilets declined from 13% to 5.2% in 2011. The proportion of household with piped water increased from 70% to 84% in 2011. Those that use electricity for cooking increased from 52% to 7.35%. The Human Settlement Vision 2013 is a program that looks at the eradication of backlogs of more than 2.1 million housing units, which translates to about 12.5 million people. However, if we talk about toilets in South Africa, the government has embarked on a campaign to ensure that each house has a formal toilet structure that is provided to each household, including empty demarcated sites, free of charge or at government expense. These are over and above the urban upgrading program that ensures that each home has a toilet. Another concurrent program ensures that every habitable structure has a clean and secure toilet facilities included in yet to be upgraded slums and rural homes. To demonstrate its commitment to inclusiveness and social development, our government outsources the service to private providers, including the digging of pit and the installation of the toilet structures. We can safely say that whilst this service is provided on an incremental basis, there will be very few instances in South Africa where no formal toilet facilities do not exist. At the international level, South Africa signed the International Covenant on Economic, Social, and Cultural Rights. Cabinet has approved that process of ratification, which must be undertaken. We are therefore ahead of the covenant in that we guarantee the justiciable of the economic, social, and cultural rights when this is a challenge for those countries who are signatories to the covenant. By the way, this does not only concern the toilet issue, but goes far beyond. For South Africa, the protection of the dignity and unity of a family is at the core of our value of Ubuntu. Again, at the international level, South Africa is a member of AMSHUT, a UN habitat structure in Nairobi, where the resolution that declared the World Toilet Day was mooted. South Africa co-sponsored the resolution both in Nairobi and in New York, the reason being that we firmly believe that each household should have a decent toilet this day and age. The presence of a decent toilet facility contributes to the maintenance and restoration of dignity of a human being. As part of our endeavors to promote UN Habitat and Human Settlement, as part of the Agenda 21, South Africa is co-hosting with UN Habitat an international conference under the theme Heading Change in the City. The focus is to give prominence to the role of women in playing a leading role to bring change in the cities. In conclusion, Madam Chair, we welcome and support the initiative contained in Resolution Sanitation for All, declaring 19 November the World Toilet Day. We must work together to ensure that the issue of sanitation continues to receive prominence in the context of the Millennium Development Goals and beyond its target date of 2015. In South Africa, every day, every week, every month is a World Toilet Day because our history taught us a lesson that open defecation is not only a health risk, but a dehumanizing and embarrassing act that must be avoided. I thank you for your attention.
Thank you, Ambassador. And, you know, I think it's very useful to share the national experience. As Ambassador Chaba had said, it's an accumulation of national programs that we come and we will have a good outcome. So thank you for that. We now move to Dr. Val Curtis, who's the Director of Hygiene Centre, the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine. The floor is yours, Dr. Curtis.
Thank you very much, Ambassador. Thank you very much, distinguished panellists. Happy World Toilet Day, everybody. For me, this is a particularly happy day, not just because of this extraordinary meeting today and because of the parties this evening, which I hope you'll all be coming to, but because I, along with a generation of sector professionals, have been frustratedly shouting and shouting that more attention needs to be paid to toilets, that we're not talking about toilets, that sanitation is one of the key public health challenges for the 21st century, and we haven't met it yet. This meeting today marks part of a wave of transformation. I don't know where we are on the wave. Hopefully, the wave is going to get higher and higher. But the transformation is coming. We can see it. We can see funding is coming for sanitation. We can see the private sector, the NGOs, the international organizations, and governments finally talking about toilets. That's fantastic. We're making great progress, but we ain't going to meet the Millennium Development Goals. Not till 2075, I think my colleague said. So what are we going to do? We have to do more. So I've got a few suggestions. I've got six suggestions. I'm sure my colleagues have other suggestions. So I have a list of things that I would like to see us do more and do better so that we crack this problem of sanitation once and for all. We rid the world of open defecation, because I'm sure we can do it. First thing I think we need is champions. I think we need a lot more. Where are you, Mr. Toilet? We need one in every country. We need a Madame Lou. We need a Senora Baño. We need a Mr. Baño, we need an Ibu toilet in every country in the world. We should be choosing champions with energy, with imagination, with the ability to get sectors talking to each other so that those efforts that Jack mentioned that are actually going in different directions start pulling together in each country. And I don't think without the champions we're going to manage that. So let's find those champions, appoint them, put them in place, and give them the floor to move us forward. The second thing I think that we need, it's been mentioned before, it's absolutely critical, it's modern communications. The Secretary, Jan Eliasson, mentioned it. We're getting much better now at communicating. We're getting much better at talking about toilets and other difficult issues. We're getting much more sophisticated.
each country, instead of spending money on subsidies, why don't we put that money towards promoting toilets, using sophisticated behavior change techniques which make people realize that toilets are a norm? When I travel around, I'm always amazed that I can be in one village where everybody has a toilet, and in the village next door, nobody has a toilet. It's not to do with getting access or money. It's to do with norms. In my village, we all use a toilet. In the village next door, we don't. Now, we could do that on a global level, on a national level, by using modern communications. You don't want to be left behind. You don't want to be the one person in your village who still hasn't got a toilet. So I think, and we've been working closely with the private sector, who are very good at modern communications. I think we think that there's tricks we can learn from the private sector, and I hope they're going to continue to help us to do this job. So number two was modern communications. Number three, something we can all do in our countries. Have we still got schools that don't have toilets? Have we still got offices? Have we still got health posts that don't have toilets? Have we still got governments, heaven forbid, where your buildings don't have toilets? If that's true, that should be solved. And don't forget that a toilet is not a toilet without a hand washing stand to go with it. So let's crack that one. That is so easy to do. We can all commit to do that one. Public institutions all have toilets. That creates a norm which sends a message out to communities that we can't live without toilets. Four, if most of us have toilets, some of it has been down to governments, but a lot of it has been down to us choosing that we wanted to buy toilets from the private sector. Now, if the private sector could make that happen with the suitable products, well marketed, that suit what consumers want, that are within their price range, and consumers start wanting them, the problems are going to be solved. Us working in academia or in the NGOs or in the support sectors or even in government, we can go home. So let's figure out how to help the private sector solve this problem. Let's get rid of regulation that stops them doing that. Let's have regulations that encourage them to do it. Let's make sure that we reduce the barriers to market entry for the private sector so we can help them invest wisely. And let's try and welcome them into the family of people who are passionate about toilets and who want to talk about toilets. There is a huge market opportunity out there. It was just calculated by colleagues at the World Bank that $20 million a year is the value of the Kenyan sanitation market. Let's point that out to industry and lure them in, because toilets are tasty. Toilets are things where we can make money. Five, I make no apology as an academic to argue for my sector. This terrible dearth of investment over the past decades has meant that the research hasn't been done. And so we still aren't smart enough. We still don't know which things really work best and most cost-effectively in sanitation, and which things don't. We still don't have enough innovation in the sanitation sector, and we certainly don't have enough training sector professionals, which is what universities do. We need centres of excellence in sanitation. They already are in South Africa, in many countries in the world. These need to be supported, and investment needs to go to them so that they crack those problems that they have in their own countries on the ground themselves and train the sector professionals at the same time, learning by doing. So I'd like to see a big learning by doing research and innovation and training agenda. That was my number five. Number six, this, my friends, may I open it? Is what we're not talking about. Shit. All right, it's plastic. I admit, it's plastic. We need to be talking about this stuff. Ugh, it's really sticky. There are billions spent and billions of voices talking about what goes in the top end. agribusiness, food business, restaurants, recipe shows, kitchen makeover shows. We all talk about what goes in here, but what do we talk about what comes out as a result? No. It's a taboo subject. We need to face this one. As we've said, we've got to make it sexy. How do we do that? Well, it's human nature. We find this disgusting. But we find things that are disgusting funny and intriguing as well, and edgy. And there's a real opportunity here for people with imagination, for people with communication abilities, for people wanting to change the world. Jump on the shit agenda. You can use it. You can ride the shit. You can help change the world by talking about toilets. So we have an opportunity here. The wave is coming. I would hope that you will all now become ambassadors for shit. Sorry, ambassadors for toilets. Let's talk about toilets. Let's talk about shit. We've a long way to go until everybody around us is talking about toilets. But if you talk to 10 people and get them to talk to 10 people and get them to talk to 10 people, by the laws of geometric progression, we'll have covered the world in by next week. So let's all talk about toilets, and let's all really enjoy World Toilet Day as an extraordinary milestone in human history. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Dr. Curtis. I think you've put it very well. Last but not least, from the private sector, we've got someone from Unilever, Mr. Jean-Laurent Inglis. I hope I'm pronouncing it properly. Over to you.
Thank you. So good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jean-Laurent Inglis, and I'm actually running Unilever Household Care Business. So it's a great honor to be here to join this very inspirational panel and stand before you all to celebrate a very significant and important day. Everyone in this room knows a fact on the global sanitation crisis, and at this time of the day probably knows them by heart. We're talking about 2.5 billion people which lack access to a clean and safe toilet, and about 15% of the world's population practicing open defecation, which can have serious health implications. Now, we're all here today because we agree that we can't wait for improved sanitation. We all know this is an issue that needs to be addressed from two sides, supply and demand. For example, 1 billion people could afford to pay to use a toilet, but they are simply not available. One of the critical ways to achieve progress towards our global sanitation targets is through sustainable business models that can address both the need for sanitation whilst at the same time creating jobs and sustainable livelihoods. What we need are willing players, investments, and the pooling of different skills and expertise in order to accelerate progress. We'll all have a role to play there, and I'm going to talk to you about the role which I think the private sector should play in measurably and sustainably improving sanitation. So if I may, I'd like everyone to have a moment to think about one exciting product you want to buy right now. Maybe a new phone, new laptop, an item of clothing, maybe you want a soft drink. And if you can think, what is it about that specific item that makes you excited? Is it the way it is marketed? Is it the packaging? Is it the science? Is it the technology? And the reason why I'm asking you to do this exercise is to think about what is actually influencing your purchase decision, making you sit up and take notice of it. That is what we call consumer understanding. Consumer insight and marketing are just two areas of expertise of the private sector. It also brings research, development, science, innovation, new capabilities, innovative approaches, and technologies. It can provide distribution channels, extensive reach, help achieve scale, and amplify communications. These skills and capabilities are complementary to those of NGOs and governments. The challenges are so big, and there's a role for all of us to play, and we all need to play it if we are to achieve real progress towards our sanitation targets. A new breed of public-private partnership with different organizations will result in more impactful programs and sanitation solutions. in our efforts to improve sanitation, Unilever and our toilet hygiene brand Domestos has had the privilege of working in partnership with the organization, several organizations represented by several of today's panelists. So the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine, Waterhead, WSSCC, World Toilet Organization, amongst others, and I'm very proud of the results we've been able to achieve through our partnership. The work that Unilever does to improve sanitation contributes to our work commitment to help 1 billion people to improve their health and well-being by 2020, but we are also very transparent about the fact that it's the right thing to do for our business. For us, this is more than simple corporate and social responsibility. It is a very clear link between tackling this crisis and our business ambitions. At the intersection of the market opportunity and the societal and environmental pressures lies a huge opportunity for businesses. When companies and brands navigate this intersection, that is when the private sector can really add great value. By way of example, let me elaborate on how Unilever through Domestos is contributing. We've worked with the World Toilet Organization since 2009 as a lead sponsor of World Toilet Day, crafting campaigns that challenge preconceptions and open new conversations around toilets and sanitation more generally. This partnership is also developing more tangible solutions to the sanitation crisis, for example, innovative market-based models that are designed to create demand for improved sanitation within local communities whilst also providing sustainable jobs. Domestos and the Unilever Foundation have worked together with UNICEF to fund their community approaches to total sanitation initiative, the CATS program. The first year of the partnership resulted in an estimated 600,000 people living in communities free from open defecation across 9 countries. We have partners in academia too. Last year, we released our Toilets for Health paper that was in collaboration with the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine, which you can collect, I think, on the side table. Following the success of this report, this year we worked with two of the world's leading sanitation organizations, WSCC and Waterhead, to develop the sequel, which we titled We Can't Wait, which you will have found on your seat when you sat down. So we are very proud to be working with all of our partners to achieve our shared goal of universal access to safe sanitation. Together, we have all come a long way, empowered by our shared interests and complementary capabilities, but there is still a very, very long way to go. To help improve the lives of 2.5 billion people without access to sanitation, stronger partnerships will need to be built. The success of these depends on greater support from across the private sector, government, and civil society, along with a clear purpose, shared goals, and a willingness to pool resources. For businesses, the commitment to working with others to help solve the sanitation crisis should come from their core business. As we have done at Unilever, businesses should look at how improving access to sanitation can help in the development of new markets and new consumers. Many businesses today are already looking at this, but in order to tackle the sanitation crisis, more players from the private sector must realize this opportunity from a social good and business perspective. The global sanitation crisis is too big to solve alone. Consider what you can do to make an impact and then think about what skills and expertise will help you to achieve these goals. It is only by working together that we can make a real impact. And on a final note, today is a very important day. The official designation of World Toilet Day will help the global community with the difficult task of getting more people talking about this very taboo issue. But the opportunity now is to ensure sanitation is integrated into the post-2015 agenda as a way to urgently catalyze action across sectors. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And I think we often forget the important role that the private sector plays in this whole discussion. So thank you for your contribution. We have to finish by 6. I have a speakers list of sorts. I have at the moment 6 speakers, but if those who want to speak would indicate, I would also take note of that. But at the moment, I have Finland, followed by Brazil, New Zealand, France, Argentina, and Ukraine. So that's who I have on the speakers list. For those of you who would like to also make some comments or questions, you're invited to indicate so. So I'll give the floor to the distinguished representative, permanent representative of Finland, to start the Q&A session. Ambassador, you have the floor.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. And I'm honored to deliver this statement on behalf of Hungary, Switzerland, Tajikistan, Thailand, and my own country, Finland, the five countries of the Steering Committee of the Friends of Water. As we have heard today, sanitation is surrounded by many taboos, and because of that, it has been a challenging issue to tackle. Sanitation has clearly suffered from a lack of political leadership, even in other countries than Fiji. It is seldom prioritized in national policies or development assistance programs, but it's promising that sanitation has gained more attention, our discussion here today being an example of that. We all know that we hear a lot of empty words and there are a lot of empty talk in these chambers, so it's about time that we talk about shit and sanitation and toilets. Sanitation is a human right. Everyone without discrimination is entitled to have access to safe, acceptable, affordable, and sustainable sanitation that provides privacy and ensures dignity. If water is life, then sanitation really is dignity. Today is a day to celebrate the toilet. It is also worth reflecting on what kind of toilets we have. It is clear that waterborne sanitation cannot reach everyone. In particular, in arid and water-scarce areas, solutions with least water-consuming systems for north and south are to be pursued. So when celebrating the toilet, let's keep in mind what happens before and after it. As protecting and sustainably managing our water resources is key for our future. We need to use our resources efficiently and protect them and the related ecosystems from pollution. Without addressing adequately water quality and wastewater management, access to drinking water and sanitation remains utopia for large groups of people for many years to come, and those who have just gained access might lose it in the future. Therefore, to build the future we want, water sanitation and hygiene, water resource management, wastewater management, and water quality issues should have a prominent place in the post-2015 agenda and future sustainable development goals. They are strategically important issues with a multiplier effect on human health, healthy environment, poverty eradication, food and energy security, employment, and economic growth. Thank you very much, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Ambassador. Next, I have Brazil, and I'd like to thank you for your patience. Just a second. Brazil, okay, you have the floor.
Thank you very much. I would like to thank you for having, and the government of Singapore for taking the lead on this very important issue and organizing today's session, working event. The comments I would like to make is, first of all, to recall the agreements we achieved during the Rio Plus 20 outcome document, The Future We Want. And I will go through it because I think it clearly indicates how central the issue of water and sanitation is to achieving sustainable development as per the consensus that was achieved in that very important conference. First of all, as we know, it establishes the eradication of poverty as the great challenge to achieving sustainable development. It also says that sustainable development must integrate the economic, social, and environmental aspects of development. Then it has a section on water and sanitation, saying that it is of critical importance within the three dimensions of sustainable development. And it also establishes a commitment of all UN members to the realization of safe and affordable drinking water and sanitation for all, indicating that we need to discuss the issues of mobilization of resources as well as capacity building and transfer of technology. So it's all there, and I think it's clear that we already have a commitment to dealing with this issue as a priority issue of our future agenda for the post-2015 period. In Brazil, while good progress was made on access to safe drinking water, we are still lagging on sanitation, and I think this perhaps could be said is the case in many countries. We now have in Brazil a Ministry of Cities that leads actions on this front. We adopted a Sanitation for All program in 2007. It establishes a long-term policy for dealing with the challenges ahead. There's also a rural sanitation program to improve conditions in the rural areas, reducing mortality from waterborne diseases. I think water and sanitation are perhaps the two most important elements when we express this desire to achieve a sustainable development through the three pillars of the economic, social, and environmental elements. In Brazil, if you take the 100 largest cities, 92% of the population in them, living in them, will have access to treated water, but only 61% to sanitation. So we have taken on the national goal to attain universal sanitation in 20 years' time, from 2014 to 2033. The calculation is that this would require an effort of about $120 billion, $6 billion per year. However, it is claimed that the investment to the benefits ratio is very positive. For every dollar invested, you have $4 saved in terms of all the benefits for the environment and for the health of the people. So it's clearly a very good cost effect. It's very cost effective to invest in water and sanitation. I would like to state that Brazil remains committed to meeting the MDG 7 by 2015 in spite of the challenges. And just to agree with a comment that was made previously to the effect that it's important to deal with the issue of toilet and open-air defecation. This is a critical issue in social terms and for poverty eradication, for all the reasons that were referred to by the speakers. But we do take the view that there is a broader question. We have to deal with this issue in a broader and more interrelated, and all its interrelationship with issues dealing with environment. I think the lack of sanitation is one of the major contributors to the degradation of water sources, rivers, and the environment in large urban cities and peripheries of the South. And it's hugely important in terms of human health. So I would insist that we take a broader and integrated perspective on this. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, we've got 5 more minutes of interpretation. So can I request the speakers to try to be as brief as possible? And for those who may want to make their addresses in a different, which requires interpretation, I'm just giving you a heads up that you may have to speak in English or risk not having everyone understand what you're saying. I apologize for that, or maybe I can ask the interpreters to stay on for a little bit. I don't know whether that's possible, but anyway, the next speaker on my list is New Zealand. You have the floor.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As I would be speaking in English anyway, I'd be happy to relinquish my place in the line to someone who might need it more than I do.
That's very kind of you. I mean, I think our colleague from Argentina had specifically asked for interpretation. So is our colleague from Argentina ready to take the floor? You have the floor, and thank you, Stephanie. I appreciate that. Argentina, you have the floor.
Thank you, Ambassador, and thank you to the other speakers that have let me speak before. I had prepared a speech for my ambassador that is actually now in another meeting and was here for a while but had to leave. So I'll proceed to read in Spanish what she was going to say. Muchas gracias.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, and thank you very much to Your Excellencies and to the panelists for those briefings. Argentina would like to express its appreciation to the government of Singapore to invite us in taking part on this day of the toilet. And therefore, we welcome this initiative, which will contribute to consider the work that we need to undertake as states together with civil society in order to ensure that there are changes in political conduct to ensure access to sanitation and to ensure that the recycled waters are properly used. We would like to thank the panelists who have given us some very interesting briefings. As we've heard, and I will summarize what I was going to say so that others will have time to speak also, the reality is that the lack of sanitation is not just a risk to health as a cause of disease, but it's also infringes the human dignity and affects millions throughout the world. The lack of access to drinking water and sanitation has a high human cost, particularly in terms of health and disease. Unfortunately, once again, it's always the households with the lowest income who lack the necessary services in terms of drinking water, and they are particularly affected by this issue. Once again, as we've heard from a number of panelists and from the videos, it's in those households, those that are most affected, where are the young people, children, old people, and persons with disabilities. We have enormous challenges in terms of drinking water and hygiene, both in terms of improving access and also the quality and the sustainability and healthy nature of these services. These are challenges that the distinguished ambassador of Hungary referred to. It's the issue of the financial resources in terms of resources to implement programs. In Argentina, since 2003, been working to ensure that persons that we have defined proper parameters for human dignity in terms of access to water and also to proper housing, with a view to the last population censuses in Argentina. We have seen that there has been a considerable improvement in the number of people who have access to clean drinking water throughout the republic, more than 80%. There's also been good outcomes in terms of local authorities, and efforts are underway in this area. Also, we've launched national programs to increase the coverage for local supply of water. For example, we have special projects which include infrastructure, and we've launched programs called Water Plus Work, and these are done through cooperative organizations. We also have a program, Water Plus Work, and we have drinking water and sanitation for small communities. There are also programs which address various populations in various regions and provinces of the country. I was going to finish. I do apologize, and in conclusion, these are just some of the examples of what we're doing. We are committed to this issue, and with regard to what the representative of Brazil said, we also believe that we need to have a broad vision. We need to commit to do what we committed to in Rio Plus 20. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I know I have France, and would you like to speak? Okay, let's do France and then New Zealand. Thank you.
Ambassador.
Thank you, Ambassador, and thank you very much, New Zealand, too. I just quite simply, in a couple of words, wanted to thank you and Singapore for organising this event and for launching this day. I'd like to thank all the speakers for the excellent quality of their speeches. Just two things I'd like to say on the prognosis, on the common agenda. On the diagnostic, on the prognosis, I think that we do have shared ideas here, and I am in a position to say that France completely shares with what has been said here, namely the urgent need of addressing this challenge and addressing sanitation. We carried out a large-scale survey with the whole of French civil society on what needs to be done to achieve the Millennium Development Goals and then move on to the post-2015 agenda. And sanitation and water, but sanitation in particular, really was considered as one of the main top priorities here. So it's not surprising, because when we look at some of the criteria that can be used for this, sanitation meets all of these criteria. Of course, it's a crucial area for eradicating poverty. It is an area where we're really lagging behind, and this was said on numerous occasions, and it's an area where the leverage effect is really crucial. Something that was underscored in particular by Brazil, as well as other countries, it really illustrates what sustainable development is. So the interconnectivity and the interrelationship between the social aspects, the economy and the environment. Now, in order to make progress together, our feeling is that fundamentally there are three main things that really need to be worked upon together. First of all, we need to strengthen it as a political priority, and we need to raise the profile of this issue. Unfortunately, this issue is neglected. It's quite difficult and embarrassing to talk about it. This is something we need to work on. Secondly, we need to work on a database that is more in depth on the root causes of this issue. And here, once again, we're lagging behind somewhat. And thirdly, we need to strengthen the national planning systems and better target investment in these areas. These are the three dimensions that I'd like to draw your attention to, and dimensions that are important for my country. Once again, thank you very much for organizing this.
Thank you very much. We've got interpretation for 5 more minutes. I don't know whether our colleague from Ukraine would like to speak in Russian, or... Yes?
Yes, thank you.
You have the floor, Ukraine.
Even if it will be English, yes? Okay.
If that's the case, then I would like to thank the interpreters staying on, because I think that the next couple of speakers will be speaking in English. So thank you for your patience, and I appreciate you staying for these extra minutes. Thank you. I now give the floor to the distinguished representative from New Zealand. And Stephanie, thank you again for ceding the floor to the others. Thank you.
You're very welcome, Madam Chair. But thank you. Thank you for making today happen. Thank you for helping to break taboos. And thank you to everybody who's come and spoken today in what has really been an extraordinarily interesting event. Each week, my mission sends down to our capital a list of our activities for the coming week. It doesn't often get a response, but this week it did, because there was a response to World Toilet Day. And I was asked whether I would be speaking standing up or sitting down, or at my convenience. I was told that such an important issue could not just be wiped away or papered over. And I was asked, would I be ordering my remarks, number one, number two? Now, of course, I responded in terms that we've heard today, many of those sobering facts and figures that have been outlined. And I won't repeat them, but what I did think was that this was a perfect example of how World Toilet Day actually works. It's the honesty of the name, the humour that it provokes, drawing attention to one of our biggest global challenges. And this has actually meant that there have been conversations taking place, as there were, as the PR of the Netherlands mentioned, conversations that otherwise would not have happened. So it's an excellent idea. The right to sanitation, as people have said, now a recognized human right. And as people have said, a right that a third of all people on Earth do not currently enjoy. So as we're building the post-2015 Sustainable Development Agenda, I think it's also important to understand that this right underpins not only the goals that we'll establish through those targets, but actually the enjoyment of a range of other rights and opportunities. And so we've heard having adequate sanitation is important for the health, safety, and dignity of all people. Access to sanitation, as we know, helps to keep girls in school beyond puberty. It reduces vulnerability for the 500 million women forced to defecate in the open. And so we really appreciate the UNICEF work on WASH in the post-2015 agenda. This is bringing some really concrete proposals that will help to catalyse our thinking about how to include this issue into the agenda. Now, all the reasons that we've heard today are why increasing access to safe, reliable, and affordable water and sanitation is one of the four major outcomes in New Zealand's development aid program. Improving water and supply and sanitation is also one of our seven specific enablers of growth in the program, and it particularly underpins agriculture, tourism, and sustainable fisheries. Last year, New Zealand contributed $7 million to programs with a focus on water and sanitation. But we see the size and the nature of this challenge. And so for the next biennium, this is going to increase to $32 million invested in the Pacific region. We also realize that, as people have said, increased resources are only one part of the solution. Many of the sanitation challenges can probably be done for quite low cost. We know that many children's lives would be improved if schools had hand-washing facilities, if there were separate toilets for girls and boys, access for the disabled. And so, as has been said, and we would underline, information sharing and educating educators are pretty fundamental to this challenge. It's an issue that I think we all understand has to be addressed at a massive scale. If we're going to do that, we do need to break through the taboo of talking about toilets, open defecation, shit, menstruation, all of that. But, you know, in polite society, we don't talk about such things. You know, we should, but it's embarrassing. But it may not feel appropriate. But it's not nice. Well, we're here in the country that gave the world Bart Simpson. And I think we can say, don't let our butts get in the way of doing more about improving access to toilets. Let's leave no one behind.
Thank you very much, and I appreciate that a bit of humor in the evening. I have now give the floor to Ukraine. I have a couple of other speakers, but I'm really three more speakers. I think they Uzbekistan, Vanuatu, and Cape Verde. I think we have two NGOs and the actual state of Cabo Verde. Can I just ask that you make your interventions brief so that we can, hear everyone, because I don't want to deprive anyone of a few minutes. So our colleague from Uzbekistan, Ukraine, you have the floor. Ukraine.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I will be brief as possible. And Excellencies, dear colleagues and friends, first of all, let us thank the organizers, the Republic of Singapore, for the opportunity to get together and launch the United Nations inauguration of the World Toilet Day. We once again have an opportunity to openly discuss the broad meaning of the sanitation in the post-2015 development agenda. We recognize that governments, international organizations, and as well as private sector, academia, and NGOs are partners in the global dialogue on water and sanitation-related issues. Bearing in mind the political outcomes of the 2013 high-level water events in the Netherlands, Tajikistan, Sweden, Switzerland, Spain, and Hungary, we once again would like to emphasize that governments and communities should create the incentives for cooperation, including financial and investments, and capacity building, including strengthening their scientific understanding of the water cycle through cooperation in joint observation and research, and the voluntary sharing of knowledge and technology. Dear colleagues, we still may notice that there are not many examples when water demands and risks meet proper solutions, particularly in those countries which are raising voices and facing these challenges. The human right to safe drinking water and sanitation is indisputable. However, proper mechanisms are essential to connect needs and rights. Therefore, we would like to draw international attention and focus on the practical steps of integrating research and development and technology into daily life. This would globally strengthen toilet and sanitation targets. It will substantially increase access of the population to the fresh drinking water, positively impact healthcare, as well as will protect ecosystems. We believe that all stakeholders, including member states, private sector, and NGOs, agree to work on methods of integrating technical, environmental, social, and political aspects into water and sanitation for the post-2015 development agenda. I thank you.
Thank you very much for your statement. I'll give the floor now to Cabo Verde for a short intervention. Thank you.
Sorry. Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Miriam Vieira from Permanent Mission of Cabo Verde. First, let me congratulate the Singapore Mission for organizing this event on the occasion of the World Toilet Day. Thank also the panelists for their insightful presentation. The government of Cabo Verde recognizes the importance of the Sanitation for All resolution recently adopted by UN General Assembly, recognizing also that improving the reliable access to drinking water and safe sanitation for all as human rights and imperatives for development, facing desertification problems as many other Sahel countries, and being a water scarce archipelago, Cabo Verde has been implementing projects with a view to guarantee water and better sanitation infrastructure to its population. We have been resisting progress in providing facilities to families to access piped water through a household connection, rising the rate of 24.8% in 2000 to 58.7% in 2010 and 65% in 2012. These indicators demonstrate that Cabo Verde has achieved MDG 7, Target C, sustainable access to water, but still a long path to go to reach 100% by 2015, as set by our national sanitation policy. In this regard, we have set national integrated strategies and policies in order to increase water use efficiency, mainly in agriculture and tourism sectors. In addition, the government of Cabo Verde has been strengthened a legal and institutional framework, undertaken reform of water and sanitation sector with support of its development partner. In this particular, I would like to highlight water sanitation and hygiene project, which is financed by MCC, Millennium Challenge Corporation, having main objective which is to improve the sector performance by improving the quality and reach of water and sanitation infrastructure, reforming national policy and regulatory institutions, transforming inefficient utilities into independent corporate entities operating on a commercial basis. I would like to end by saying, as you may know and as we saw on the videos, that according to statistics, one-third of humanity, which means 2.5 billion people, mainly in developing countries, still lack access to improved sanitation facilities, which may cause dramatic consequences not only on the environment, social and economic development, but also on human health, dignity, and security. Thus, we cannot wait for sanitation. The past 2015 development agenda should set the basis to ensure the accomplishment of improving goals on these fields, with particular focus on the education-related matters and gender-based approaches. In this regard, global partnerships are crucial. Doing so, I believe, we are working to improve better living standards for humanity. I thank you.
Thank you, colleague from Cape Verde. Really, I can see that the conference managers are leaving quite quickly. Now, I have three more speakers. I have the distinguished representative from Sao Tome and Principe, and I would like to give you the floor, but I would only do this if I can be assured that it will be a one-minute statement. Okay, and the other two, Vanuatu and Uzbekistan, also 1 minute, and then we can. I will do a quick wrap-up, then we can leave. So assurances that we will leave in the next five, or we'll conclude the meeting in the next 5 minutes. Okay, thank you. The representative of Sao Tome, please, and Principe.
Thank you so much, Madam Chair. Just by thanking the mission of Singapore to give us this opportunity to talk about something perhaps considered yet too embarrassing, but allow me to highlight the fact that we shy to talk about shit, which is something natural, but we don't shy to talk about war, which is killing people. So I leave the floor just with a question. So what is really shining subject to talk about and most unnatural, shit or killing human beings? Thank you.
Thank you very much for that. Yeah. Okay, thank you. And I think you should follow his example by being brief. I'm not going to be able to answer that question, but I go for the lady first. Please identify yourself, and I appreciate if you could limit your statement to 1 minute. Thank you.
Who's next? It's me. Who's next? Me? It's me.
You're next.
Yeah. Hi, thank you. My name is Kim Nace. I'm representing the Rich Earth Institute from Vermont. We are an NGO. We are a nonprofit, and our mission is to advance and promote human waste as a resource. I think, Jack, one of the greatest, most sexy things about a toilet can be that the nitrogen and phosphorus that come out on the other side of it when we treat the human waste properly is a clean, accessible, and inexpensive source of fertilizer for all of those people who don't have the money to either have a toilet or to have fertilizer to grow their own food. On that behalf, I just want to say in Vermont, we talk a lot, but we also do a lot, and we've started the first pilot project in the United States to reclaim the nutrients from human urine. We've collected 3,000 gallons last summer and put it on a hay field. We're doing research and demonstration, and we are really glad to be here today to hear some good advancing movement on this important issue. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And next we have the gentleman who's been very, very patient. Thank you so much, and I give you the floor.
Please identify yourself.
My name is Sean Schaffner. I'm from the Poop Project, and we're an arts and education organization here in the U.S., and I want to say thank you so much for having this, and everyone, I've really enjoyed listening, especially to those of you like Ms. Kent and Ms. Ingalls, and as well the delegate from New Zealand and as well above. Like, when we talk about sanitation, especially in the U.S., I'm a New Yorker, we think of trash pickup. So let's get our language straight. Let's figure out ways to talk about this, where we're actually talking about what we're talking about. And I want to, within that, appeal for two different ideas. One is that this is often a conversation about things that are happening far away. Organizations like KIMS and like many other organizations throughout the U.S., like Flush out of Portland, are doing work that involves toilets here on the ground. And we are a link to be able to connect these people to this issue in a way that's very local. And issues that we face here in the U.S. are also urgent, and I think as well in other developed countries. Similarly, I want to create an invitation to empower all of us that taboo is a cultural idea. It is a cultural thing that happens. It is not innate, as much as we may be disgusted by poop, and that culture makers are the next generation of people to take this on. And I did that myself as an artist, and I would just close with a short lyric from a musical we wrote called An Inconvenient Poop that was called the most important show on the Edinburgh Fringe in 2012. And it begins with each of us. I won't be silent any longer. We can't flush away our truths. We can't hold back what's inside us. I'm a pooper, so are you. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much for that. After that, I don't think I can do anything more. But I mean, I just want to I've got some prepared comments here, but in the interest of time, I just wanted to say a very big thank you for all of you for your participation, for the panelists for spending their time here addressing a very important issue. When Singapore took on this issue, I must say it was rather daunting because, I mean, there's so many different views. What do we talk about? But by hearing people this afternoon, we've really exceeded the 3 hours. I thought 3 hours would be way too long, but we've really exceeded this, and I think we could have continued for much longer. It just leaves me to say that we need to work closely together. I don't think anyone has said that we shouldn't accelerate what we're doing. I take note that there have been positive developments. I think we've concentrated on the fact that we haven't reached some of the goals, but I think we've also had very good success stories. So I think we need to work together, not just as governments, but with the UN, but also with the private sector, with NGOs, with academia. I think today we have gotten rid of that taboo. I've never heard the word shit mentioned so many times in this body. And I just wanted to say thank you. There is a reception now at the Singapore Mission. We can continue the discussion about this very important subject. And I thank you again for your strong support. World Toilet Day does not end with this seminar. There will be other events, and next year, hopefully, we will have more to say. We will have more targets that we have reached, and we would have more suggestions as to how, what more we can do. So with that, thank you so much. It's been a very enjoyable event for me to chair. I want to say a big thank you to all the participants and also my colleagues at the Singapore Mission. Very rarely do we say thank you to our own people, but they all worked very hard to make this day happen. And I think they know who they are. I think you see them, the tired bodies in this room. But they have all worked very hard to support this event. And thank you so much for your time and your participation. So with that, thank you. The meeting is adjourned.